Summer is a season of festivals, and last week a group of people in Arizona planned a summer festival, and this festival had fun activities planned, like intentionally offending their Muslim neighbors by drawing cartoons of their Prophet Muhammad, and making it clear that Muslims were not welcome in their neighborhood by lining up outside of a mosque at prayer time with offensive signs and guns on full display. 250 or so people showed up for this party with their cartoons and guns and signs when a funny thing happened. About the same number of people showed up from various faiths, standing alongside the imam of the mosque and those who worship there, saying that indeed these people are welcome in our neighborhood. And then an even funnier thing happened when the imam invited some of the protesters to come in and join them for prayer, a couple of whom did, and left the mosque with a more peaceable and welcoming approach to their Muslim neighbors. We might not, when we think of a place where we expect God to show up, immediately think of a mosque. And yet, our United Church of Christ General Synod, which begins on June 26th in Cleveland, has picked up the theme for this year, Unexpected Places. Because if we read our story, this red book in your pews, we know that God has a habit of showing up in unexpected places. So we're going to be picking up this theme over the next few weeks, and our first story is from Genesis, and it's a story that could end up on television in our society, like a show like Jerry Springer. Is Jerry Springer still on? No, don't incriminate yourselves. I don't know, Jerry Springer or, you know, Judge Judy or The Jersey Shore, any of these wonderful television shows, this story could be there. It began back in Genesis 12 when God called Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make you into a great nation, I will make your name great so that you can be a blessing to the world. All through you, all of the nations on the earth will be blessed, God said to Abraham. And by Genesis 15, though, Abraham and Sarah don't have a child, and they're getting a little nervous and confused about this whole thing. And so they say, well, we're God's chosen people, so maybe we should be the ones to bring about God's promises our way. And so Sarah has an idea. She says, well, I have this Egyptian slave girl named Hagar. And so, Abraham, why don't you allow Hagar to become the biological mother of our child, which is the most G-rated way I could say that. And sure enough, Hagar becomes pregnant with this child. And as you might expect, Sarah looks at this pregnant woman with carrying the son of her husband and says, maybe not such a good idea. And she goes to Abraham and she says, I want this woman out of here. And Abraham, our great hero in the faith, says, all right, whatever you want. Yes, dear. And we're told in what is probably the G-rated version that Sarah dealt with her harshly. And Hagar ran away into the wilderness. And it was in that unexpected place for the first time that God showed up to Hagar. She named this place where God met her, as characters in the Old Testament often do, name places where God showed up. She names this place the Well of the Living One Who Sees Me, because she says, now my eyes have seen the one who sees me. And she names her child, as God instructs her, Ishmael, which means God heard. So Hagar goes back and gives birth to Ishmael and begins to raise Ishmael in the presence of Abraham and Sarah. But another twist to the plot is that eventually God does fulfill his promise to Abraham and Sarah. She becomes pregnant and gives birth to Isaac. And that is where we pick up our story today, with Sarah seeing Isaac and Ishmael playing and getting a little haughty with her chosenness. My child is the chosen one. And so she again goes to Abraham and says, I want her gone. And Abraham, our great hero in the faith, says, all right. At least this time God stepped in and assured Abraham that they would be protected. But we find again Hagar and Ishmael out in the wilderness on the verge of death, weeping. And just as Ishmael's name reminds us, God hears and shows up once again. Now, I've said before that I really believe that the whole Bible is a commentary on Genesis 12, God's promise to Abraham to bless the world through Abraham's offspring. And so as we read the Bible, we rightly expect God to find God blessing the descendants of Abraham, being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and thus blessing Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But in Genesis 12 and Genesis 6, or 15, Genesis 16 and Genesis 21, who do we find God blessing? The Egyptian slave Hagar and her ill-begotten child, Ishmael. In fact, I think if you read the story of Genesis 16 and 21, you might actually think that Hagar and Ishmael were the chosen ones, and Abraham and Sarah were the moral monsters intent on defeating God's plan. I think, like Abraham and Sarah, as Christians throughout the ages, we also have a tendency to get a little haughty about our chosenness. And when we do, we tend to limit God's activity. Well, God only blesses us because we are the chosen ones. And we forget that habitually, throughout the scriptures, throughout our history as a people, God shows up in unexpected places. Now, I think if you're listening to this story today, there are reasons to take comfort, to know that we have a God who hears the weeping of mothers and their children, who shows up for those who are cast out and desperate. And we and you need to know that that is our God, a God of compassion, and be comforted. There's also reason for comfort in this story, knowing that God's chosen ones do fall short, like Abraham and Sarah. But God chooses us not because of our great works, because of how good and moral we always are, but because of God's grace. And so there is reason to take comfort in this story today. But if you feel maybe a little bit disturbed by the story today, there is also good reason for that. I think because all of the people out there this morning, all of those who don't really think that a church building on Sunday morning is where they need to look to find God, might be partly right. All of those people looking for God, looking for joy in other places, might sense that for many of us, for many of our churches, God has become too predictable, too comfortable, too ours. That perhaps we have expected too much that God would show up at our times, in our places, only to bless us. And have forgotten our story, that God shows up in bushes and pagan palaces and on battlefields and in widows' houses, in mangers and on crosses. And yes, sometimes in his temple and in church buildings, but oftentimes in unexpected places, with a tendency towards places that we label undesirable, places that we think should be avoided, like an imprudent slave girl in the wilderness, who is nonetheless seen and heard by an unpredictable God who shows up in unexpected places. Let's pray. Comforting and disturbing God, we have heard your story this morning and confess that we have often limited your activity in our mind, that we have been hesitant to go out into unexpected and undesirable places, that we have refrained from living our lives among unexpected and undesirable people, because we have forgotten that that is where you so often show up. Forgive us for limiting you, O God, for limiting your grace, for limiting the action of your Spirit in the world. And open our eyes to the wells of living water that show up in the places that we least expect them, and in the lives of the people whom we least expect. We ask this all in the name of Jesus, who showed up in a manger and walked to a cross and snuck up on Mary outside of his empty tomb and now dwells among us and makes his temple in all of the world. Amen.